Thank you once again for joining Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We thank Candace, too, for her announcement at the beginning and talking about Open Door and what all we can do to help her. And we've been talking about, we did talk about the crucifixion before. We're now discussing the resurrection and, you know, without Jesus, the resurrection, we have no faith. And we talked about the women in the passage and how faithful they were, how they worshiped Jesus and the obedience of when the angel told them and what to do. So they were the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And we will continue on in our Matthew 28, 1 through 20, and continue talking about the angels.
So good. I'm just curious, before we get on, I had asked this during the break, but what most stood out to you that you liked about what we looked at last time?
Go ahead.
We weren't ready for that question,
no,
were we?
She doesn't ever start off with a question like that.
No,
we
make
this read it first.
I think the idea of the women were so obedient, you know, they loved Jesus so much that they were ready to go and do their duty with him and worship him. And when they met him on the path too, and he appeared to them, they immediately just worshiped him again, you know, actually seeing him. But when the angel said to go in and see that he is not there anymore, we talked once last time about how an eyewitness is more important than 20 Would you call it
ear witnesses?
And that's so true. You know, it's got to be an eyewitness. That just makes it, you believe it.
How about you, Carrie?
I think that just talking about the expectation, how the women were there with the expectation to worship Jesus, and the differing expectations of the people with the guards, and how they were fearful because of their lack of expectation,
right? Their lack of faith. I'm the same, in that for me, I'm overwhelmed by the heart of worship that they had, and how their heart of worship brought them blessing, and how the soldiers' heart of worship we looked at didn't. They just stayed afraid. They were like dead men, and didn't receive the blessing, and that just challenges me to think through that.
When you always wonder, like, they went quickly. When the angel said, go quickly and tell the disciples, and they immediately did that, how excited they had to have been, not understanding it yet completely, but excited, and then to see Jesus right away.
Exactly.
Women were the first ones to see him.
I'm going to ask one of you to read a single verse before we actually read our chapter. Sandy, would you go to Galatians 3:28? And wanted to share with the fact that when it comes to testimony, we have to recognize that in their day, the women's testimony had no bearing. And in fact, legally, they didn't use women as a testimony. They only used men. And so the New American Commentary, they said that this is to demonstrate a new era is occurring, and that Christ is revealing that women can bear witness as a testimony, and that the role of women at this point is the new dawning. Just as they're there at dawn, it's a new dawning of equality for women, and that he's revealing that through the fact that he chose to make that revelation to them, because he could have just as easily shown up just where the disciples were and not tell her to go tell them to go to a place.
Right. Because the angel told him, tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and he chose to
exactly
the women.
And so that's kind of fun. So go ahead and read Galatians 3:28 that supports that.
There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians. You are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I like that.
So New American Commentary uses that verse to support what they're saying. The other thing I wanted us to think about is the fact that the angels weren't standing. What was he doing?
He was sitting on the rock, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sat on the rolled back the stone and sat on the stone. Yeah.
The point is that it's done. You know, when a race is happening, we're up and we're like, if the game is on, we're like intense and standing and stuff. But when everything's done, you kind of just sit and relax. He is very much in a relaxed posture. And I just had this thought, and I haven't ever thought this before. I don't know why it just came to me, but I have no recall of scripture referencing an angel sitting in any other place. I'm going to have to think on that now. And so this is one time we're actually allowed to see an angel as relaxed and sitting. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like he's like, okay, yeah, waiting for them to come so I can show.
Homework.
It's a good one to have. And then the other thing I wanted to make sure we opened up this time is that the Life Application Study Bible said that the stone was rolled away so that others could see that Jesus had risen. It was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out.
Right. Yeah,
that's okay. Very important that we understand mm-hmm. that. And so that's a key truth that we need to focus in on, because it had nothing to do with Jesus trying to get out of the grave. We are told, and we'll look that verse up in another place in Scripture. We'll get to that one later. But we will look at and see that we're actually told in Scripture that a resurrected body can walk through walls.
Okay.
So let's read now the Matthew 28, and let's go through and see what we can see from the resurrection.
To read it again?
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
That's good. May God honor the telling of his word. That's so beautiful. Okay, so I want us to think through different times in Jesus's life where we have seen an angel appear. Like, when did the angels appear?
Announcing
the birth.
Announcement of the birth. Where else? The dream for Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. And then... it's not angels at the Transfiguration. Who is it? Moses and Elijah. So I wanted us to think through those times. And each of the times for the birth announcements, it was always, "Do not be afraid." And we have the angels announcing as well to the shepherds.
Right.
And they always start with that, "Do not be afraid." Mm-hmm. So having him announce that is also kind of like a completion of those announcements and this one. Mm. So those were the forerunner to it, and now this is the one that's the completing. And by him sitting, that's showing it's the completion. So I wanted to make sure I brought that back up. Okay.
Something else I picked up, too, when she was reading. I like you reading, Carrie, because it's like, oh, my goodness, something jumps up again. You know, you asked one time about, I don't even know what you said before, but my thought was, you know what, God knows everything. God knows. We're talking about the angel sitting. Mm-hmm. So God knew that the women were on their way, and the angel said, "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." And the angel knew.
The angel can only know that
he's a messenger.
If God told him.
Right, right.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's like, "Hey, you know, they're going to be coming, so you need to tell them because an angel is not all-knowing and all-seeing."
Right. No, God was.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. That's a great...
Well, I didn't see it until
I love it. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
I love when things come back out.
Mm-hmm. I love it when it does that too. Okay, so I would like for us to look at the chief priests. I want you to think on all the things that we can pull out about them from this passage, the religious leaders, everything that we can see about their behavior.
Well, they're deceptive, you know. They're always deceiving and trying to go after Jesus.
The guard was reporting to the chief priests.
The guards were placed there.
Yeah.
They were placed there.
Yeah.
And the rock was placed there.
Yeah.
The rock was rolled in front.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that they did in order to cover up, because they didn't want him to escape.
Right.
Because it's common knowledge that Jesus had told everyone, I will rise on the third day. And so they wanted to stop him. I just was thinking through of all the stuff that the religious leaders had done. And these are the ones that
up to here?
Up to this point in relation. So, and I'm thinking more along the lines of from Passover to now. I'm not even talking about during the ministry time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay, they plotted with Judas and gave
money.
Coinage, money. They plotted with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They sought to trap him.
Mm-hmm.
They sought to use his words against him. Mm-hmm. So the very words he was speaking to give life, mm-hmm. they were trying to use those very words against him to destroy life. They were willing to wait. We had talked about the patience of evil, that we can have good patience, holy patience, and we can have evil patience. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to wait for an opportune time to do what they wanted to do. They knew the resurrection was coming. So they believed Jesus' words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They actually believed he would do what he said he would do. Now, isn't that interesting? Because they were willing to believe that he would rise, but they weren't willing to believe in him with faith. So again, do you see how it's the holy expectation of what you do with what you know? Because a person can know the truth and not have faith.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it. Mm-hmm. But they weren't willing to have faith in it. It just blows my mind that was there. But then they tried to hide what they knew. Mm-hmm. How can we hide the truth? Let's put the rock in so that he can't get out. Not only were they willing to pay for it and to plot, but they were willing to lie.
Back to paying.
Yeah, to lie. And so they were like, okay, guys, look, I want you to go out and you're going to say this. Because the leader, the magistrate, will be willing to believe this report, I think is how it's worded in one translation. The governor will be willing to listen to this report.
If he hears about it, yep.
Yeah.
We'll stand up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like he's willing, he'll accept this lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my goodness, how sad for that leader.
Mm.
It made me think of is it in Matthew 5 where it says, I quoted this, I think, last time on the radio, too, because it's just so beautiful. I can't get rid of it, as I've been meditating a year ago on the Sermon on the Mount, where it says, oh, how dark the lie when you are willing to call the truth dark. Mm. The darkness is darker when we take truth and call it a lie.
Mm.
That literally, it shows how dark you have actually gone.
That's where they are.
And that's what they've done, that they're willing to take the truth and they're willing to make a lie.
And the bad thing is that last sentence, their story spread widely among the Jews and they still
believe it
today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy how a lie can just spread and take hold.
And come like it is the truth, yeah.
Yeah. So I also put, they placed the rock to stop Jesus, and then they lied to cover up, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
So those were all the things that they did in their time. I mean, they don't have very many verses, but they sure did do a lot. Yeah, that's nuts. And I don't know, it makes me angry. The lie was that they said that the disciples stole him in the middle of the night while he was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I thought is, when am I satisfied with something that's not the whole truth?
Mm.
Like that really hit me hard as I was pondering that. It's like, because honestly, anything that I am willing to take in anything that I'm willing to believe and it's not the whole truth, then I am willing to be satisfied with an untruth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happens also on the internet. People forward things. Mm-hmm. And if you don't check it out in the Bible to make sure it's true, mm-hmm. you better not be forwarding on, well, is how I look at it. Because it's not always the truth.
Gossip.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if it's not the truth, yeah.
Something that's being shared about
somebody. Fall into that one way, yeah.
And willing to believe the mm-hmm. lie about somebody to just a character, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. And so, and I've said this 1,000 times, I'm going to say it again because I will probably say this till the day I die. I every time something is brought to me about a person that hits on their character, what I will do is I will go through what I know about their mm-hmm. character. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that does not match what mm-hmm. I know about this person's character. There are times that I am like, you know, that does match what I have experienced. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I will weigh it out. And I can't tell you how many times, because I have done that, I have been able to stop a lie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I put the people on hold and said, wait, we need to look. And it's like, it just being willing to step back and say, let's analyze the character. How does this match the whole context of this human mm-hmm. and how we know they live their life? We need to get the bigger picture. And over and over and over again, I have seen it triumph in behalf of somebody. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. in this case and theirs, their character remained flawed. But in the case of Christ.
Yeah. Sometimes you can turn it around, too. Like you can just say, well, this is what I see in this person. And you tell the good characteristics of the person how you see it.
That's good.
And that stops it a lot of times because they figure out, well, they're not wanting to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's edifying.
Yes.
That anticipation of bringing something that's better, good, holy than what is not. Yeah. And so not being satisfied. It's crazy. I don't know how this happened where we only have 45 seconds left for this section. And so, again, I just want to emphasize the anticipation here. It's the anticipation of truth and not being satisfied with an untruth. I think that's probably how we should sum up this section. Just not being satisfied. Because if we don't believe in the resurrection or if we're not willing to call the resurrection, Scripture actually says then we are a false teacher. Mm. That's kind of convicting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
And we don't want to be that.
Well, we're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back because we have not yet talked about the aspects that we can learn about from Jesus on this one. Thanks, and God bless.